Welcome to Bethel Cleveland's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy today's message. For more information on this podcast or how to get connected, go to BethelCleveland.com.
Praise God. It's wonderful to be with you this morning. It's a special house. I want to ask you to stand back up again. I like to do that to people. I want you just to lift your hands to heaven as we begin. What a morning. What an atmosphere. Something is happening in Cleveland, Ohio. Anybody else feeling that this morning? God's releasing something over this city. Personally, I believe this city could be the first city in the United States of America to fall back to Christ. We're believing for it. And Bethel specifically, I believe, I believe this church is headed towards 5,000 in a hurry. I really do. We've seen cataclysmic growth quick, and people are ready. They're ready all over the city. But lift both hands. What an incredible moment in history. As bombs are flying across the Holy Land right now, as we're on the brink of everything the Bible said would happen, that you'll hear wars and rumors of wars. Now the body of Christ rises up, the giant awakens just in time, carrying his name, his word, his blood, his spirit, the angel armies. Father, we just thank you right now for each and every person, every family, every one of these beautiful children. We ask you for the fire of the Holy Spirit. Lord, you are the baptizer in the Spirit and fire. Father, that our hearts would burn for you, that flame would be seen in every one of our eyes, that those coals of fire would be placed on every one of our lips, even our tails on fire, that we would run with this to every hurting and broken person looking and searching and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God to appear. Do a work in all of us today. Thank you for life change and life transformation by the Spirit of God, that we will walk out of this building changed forever today. We thank you. We thank you for this house, for this couple and this family and these leaders. Lord, do exceedingly above all they could ever ask or think or imagine. And we'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It's in your name that we pray. And everybody said, and everybody shouted, amen. Just do me a favor. Just hug somebody next to you. Find somebody. I'm Italian, we're huggers, so hug two or three people quick. God is good. We greet those of you that are watching this stream online. Come to you from Bethel, Cleveland, Brunswick, just in the suburbs, the great city of Cleveland, Ohio. We believe in that word that God has marked the state of Ohio. And the Lord is going to move and pour from city of Cleveland straight down 71. It's no coincidence this church is right on 71. It's going to flow right down to the city of Columbus, the Ohio State Buckeyes. Got some fans here apparently. And then straight through to Cincinnati. Pastor Steve is not with us this morning. He is ministering in the state of North Carolina in the city of Winston-Salem. But we love him. He's been a huge blessing in my life. Pastor Steve and Cindy, give them an amazing thank you. God bless you. Thank you for contending. And we're excited for what's ahead. Hallelujah. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Zechariah. Give me a big Cleveland shout when you're there. Zechariah chapter 12. Give me a big Cleveland Indian shout when the Cleveland Guardian shout when you're there. I had to minister Cleveland run to Columbus and get back. I wasn't in time. Did the Yankees beat the Guardians last night? Who won the game? Anybody know? Nobody. Yankees won? Okay. Yankees won by a lot, they said. All right. I better not talk about that a lot, so praise God. Zechariah chapter 12, in verse 8. In that day, everybody say that day, shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day. Everybody say that day. Shall be like David. Everybody say David. And the house of David, shout David, shall be like God, even as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass that I will pour out on the house of David like a waterfall. And in that day, there'll be a fountain opened over the house of David. We are truly living in an incredible moment. God's prophetic time clock. If you haven't been to the Holy Land, I encourage you to go. But God's epicenter is the city of Jerusalem and the nation of Israel. The Lord even said, when you see the armies of the world surrounding the city, look up, your redemption draws near. We are right now in the midst of the beginnings of an event there. I believe, personally believe, that we're not going to see the end of this. I believe that this is going to spark things. I believe wholeheartedly that we are living in the last of the last days. As you know, part of you know my story, but we have three beautiful children. Me and my wife married 29 years. Someday they'll be here with me. Hopefully in the summertime they come with me all the time, and then on holidays. And so I'll be back in September. They're back in school already. But we had one, the middle child was born 7/7/7, and my oldest child was born on 12/12/12. When that happened in that hospital room, and they were both urgent C-sections, I held the baby. They were attending to my wife. I was weeping. I'm an evangelist, but I know enough about prophetic things that the number 3, the number 7, and the number 12 were significant. And I said, God, why? And he brought me to Revelation 12:12. My eyes went to Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him, or Satan. How many want to overcome Satan? They overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. Everybody say blood. Blood. Now, we get saved only by blood. It's only not by works, lest anybody boast, right? It's only by grace. You can't do anything good enough to be saved. You can't do anything bad enough to be outside the reach of Jesus, right? And so, but to overcome Satan in this world, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the blood, how many thankful has been shed? And then it says, and the words of our testimony. Everybody touch your lips, if you will. Touch your neighbor's lips. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Only if you know I'm really good. I'm going to get in trouble here. Especially post-COVID. We don't do that, right? The words of our testimony are involved in overcoming the enemy. And then the last one says, and they counted not their life dear to themselves. Those two things are important in victory in your life in every area. This is a spiritual battle. So the words of our testimony from somebody that's all in for Jesus. And then it says, rejoice who live in the heavenly realm or the heavenly places. Man, we're in the heavenly places this morning. That atmosphere of God is here. For the enemy has come down in great fury or great wrath, knowing he has a short time. And the Lord said, I've given you these babies on this date so that you can tell my church what the enemy already knows, that there's not a lot of time left. In the last days, evil comes down. How many have seen that manifest in our nation? It's happening right now. It's going to get increase and increase. The thing is not to get distracted by what the devil is doing. The thing is to get caught up into what God is doing. Because no matter what, The enemy comes in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord raises a standard against him. Amen? So praise God. So we cannot ignore what's happening. So keep your eyes. But the Bible is clear. Now, I go to the Middle East and I preach in the West Bank. I preached in Gaza. I go to Islamic countries. I just got back from a huge breakthrough in the UAE, Dubai, Abu Dhabi, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, that part of the world. The glory of God is going to engulf that whole part of the world. Amen. Saudi Arabia is opening up for the gospel powerfully. And so raise your hand if you're with me. And so there's, the Bible is clear though, that he made a covenant with a people. Out of that covenant came a savior. Through that savior, the whole world would be saved. God loves both Jew and Arab. How many understand that? We don't just pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for God so loved the whole world. So we are not indifferent to people. We don't just say bomb them or do this. No, these are people. These are families. These are children. Amen. Are you with me? However, the Bible is super clear on what he's given this land, that this was a covenant that he made. So pray for Israel now. Every believer should be doing that. Zechariah says in that day, God is going to show up and going to defend, and that he's going to pour out, and this verbiage, upon the house of David. Everybody say David. Turn to your neighbor, say David. Turn quickly, person behind you, say David. Now ask him why they turn their back on you. No. Jesus is known as the son of, not Moses or Abraham or Elijah. He's known as the son of what? David. God said that he was going to release the key of David, that before the Lord, the great day of the Lord comes, the tabernacle of David will be established. The Bible talks about the spirit of David. So I want to talk to you just for a few moments about David. Put your hand on your heart right there. It says that David was called, how many love David in the Bible, by the way? Raise your other hand. David is the no rest, no sleep, no slumber. I just got to say this because it was bubbling with me. I don't know what they're doing officially next Sunday, but unofficially, I think Pastor will be okay with me. Unofficially, we'll call it Friend Day. Bring a friend next week to this church. Bring somebody. Gather somebody. Invite. Everybody say it loud, invite. Because people need to experience what's going on in this atmosphere. Amen. So make an intentional thing to invite somebody next Sunday and just say, God's doing amazing things. Come with me to this church. David is known as a man after God's own heart. He's the no rest, no sleep, no slumber, as the deer pants guy. And so he's the only one called after God's own heart. He's an extraordinary figure in the Bible. He had many enemies and adversaries, but David learned to bask in the presence of God. David understood the goodness of God at a level that most people haven't experienced. And he said that God sets a table in the presence of his enemies. Everybody say David. And so 1 Samuel 24, you can turn over there quickly. Just a couple of scriptures this morning. 1 Samuel 24. This, David has many moments that define him, but this to me is the top one. This to me is synonymous with who this man is and why he's Israel's greatest king. And it's not the moment of him taking out Goliath, although that was a big one. He took out a lion, a bear, and now a Goliath. 1 Samuel 24 opens, and it actually, 1 Samuel 23 closes with Saul. Remember, Israel wanted a king, and so God gave him Saul, and Saul was raised up. But Saul broke obedience with the Lord. It says that he sinned against the authority of God. How many know God is God? I know he's lover, he's our friend, he sticks closer than a brother, but he's also God the Father and God Almighty. Amen? He's God of the angel armies. And so when he tells us to do something, they're not called the 10 options, they're called the 10 commandments. Amen? When God does something, we got to do it. And so Saul didn't do it, and he broke away from the alignment. That's why you got to stay in alignment with God. You just got to do what he says, and he's going to bring blessing in your life. Saul does that, and he loses, the Bible says, the anointing. God repented that he made Saul a king. Always think about who did God repent to when he repented, you know? And so he put his spirit on a young shepherd boy that was out doing. Remember the story? Is this the one? All of Jesse's sons? No. Well, was there anyone else? Yeah, there's one other young guy, but he's out in the fields taking care of stuff. Isn't it interesting that God chose that guy? And so God raised up a David, put his anointing on him. Are you with me this morning? Is this on, this microphone? Okay. And so here all of a sudden, David serves Saul. He served him with all of his heart, and now Saul is after him. How many ever had a betrayal in your life? Anybody have a deep betrayal in your life? You know, raise your hand if you do. I want to see your hands. Just so look around. While your hand's up, look around. That's all of us, right? We all go through it. I was telling the early congregation this morning, I came up to my church on one Easter. I pastored 20 years in Miami Beach, South Beach, Fort Lauderdale, Fort Myers, had multiple campuses, and so I walked up to my Easter Sunday, you know, and I preach extemporaneously in the revival services, but, you know, a little more structured on a Sunday, and I had notes, and the Lord just threw those notes out, and we had decorated our place in red and white, the whole place, because I was preaching on the blood and the glory. The blood and the glory was the week, and God always takes sacrifice. And when we sacrifice, then God brings his oil and his anointing. And without blood, come on, there's no revival. Amen? That's why the Lord told me, Tommy, don't look at people's faces. Don't try to be popular. Tell the people what I did for them. Ask them if they'll do the same for me. And he said, unless to agree, they can't walk together. Don't teach people how to live. Teach people how to die. Teach people how to die. When you teach them how to die, you're really teaching them how to live. You're really teaching them how to find their life. Amen? It's not a death message. It's a resurrection message. If you could just let go and really give God your life, then you will be amazed at the greatest journey that you'll be on. Long story short, David is, he's after. Well, let me just tell you what the Lord gave me in the sermon. So the Lord said, throw out your notes. And he said, would you die? I'm hearing these words. Would you die for your children? How many will die for your children? And then how many of you wives will die for your husbands? So it's a chuckle with that one, always. Some are going to fast and pray about that. How many of you husbands will die for your wives, right? Look at that. Quick hands, guys. Quick. Be quick. Don't think that through. Don't process that. Of course we will, right? But I heard these words as I went to the pulpit, grabbed the microphone. He said, would you die for Judas? Would you die for Judas? And I realized, what does revival look like? What is the end goal? The end goal is to look like Christ. And so you'll never be like Jesus until you could die for your Judas. And that's why, not that God causes it, but this is why things happen in our life, so that we can rise above it. Amen? That's why storms come, so that we can have peace in the middle of it. Are you with me? And so all of a sudden, David's dealing with a betrayal right here at the highest level. The guy that he served is after him. And so because of the Philistines, Saul had to turn around. So he had to let David go. David finds himself in a place called En Gedi, just on the west bank of the Dead Sea, a place of, it was a rocky fortress-like structure. David goes in there with his men and he's hiding out. Saul gets word, he comes and he doesn't know exactly where, so he comes down and it's desert, Middle East, so he wants to take a little nap and he went in to get inside the cave to cool off. And who's there? David. David and his men, but Saul doesn't know it. He goes and takes a little siesta. He goes to sleep. And David's men, in 1 Samuel, verse 24, said, behold, the day of which the Lord said, behold, I will deliver your enemy into the hands, and you shall do to him as seems good. Then David arose and stealthily cut off the skirt of Saul's robe. So David, instead of killing the man who's coming to kill him, Even we don't have that in the Bible, the record of that word, but these guys all knew it. This is the day that that was spoken, that the Lord said, you're going to do whatever you need to do to Saul. Everything looked like a God setup. Raise your hand if you're with me. But the Bible says David chose. Now remember, this is the humanity. This is a real story. This has to walk off the pages. This is somebody trying to murder. This is blood. This is destruction. This is hatred. This is somebody trying to kill David. And David in that moment goes over and he cuts the garment of Saul off. And do you know what? David's heart was so pure, not that he didn't have challenges, but David's heart was so pure that he felt guilty that he even cut the garment of the guy that he was serving. Come on. And his men didn't understand it. Sometimes the people around you won't understand it. But you're going somewhere. And David was going to be Israel's greatest king. That's where he was going. Little did he know, he was learning how to be a king right there. That's where greatness is birthed. When we have choices like that to make, either to respond with a sword or not. And you know what happened with Saul? Does anybody know how Saul died by his own sword? So when we give God our enemies and we place them in his hands and rise above it and love them regardless, do you know what? The Lord will take care of them. The Lord will take care of it. Are you with me? Now, David wasn't not silent. Sometimes when we think, and why am I sharing this? Because the Bible says in the last days, God was going to release keys of the kingdom. This is a key for the church to carry the end time glory of God. The glory is not something that comes on you. We're just going to get in the glory. We're just going to get in the atmosphere. That's what I was told when I was younger in revival. You just, Tommy, you go down to that meeting and you get revival. Really? That's what, so you go down in the meeting and you get touched and, whoo, I got it. Look, that's not how that works. The glory of God doesn't come on you. The glory of God comes from you. The greatness of Jesus wasn't what was on him. It was what came from him. Raise your hand if you understand that. And that's what makes it pure. And so, no, you don't just go down and those things could be catalysts, but no, that's not how you get it. You got to die. It takes tears. It takes suffering. It takes, come on, paying a price that nobody else is willing to pay. Could you say amen? And that's why we call this the goat, the place of the goats. Someday I'm going to come in with a little goat. And I'm going to do this because the greatest of all time moment to me, this was David qualifying. He was carrying the spirit of Jesus. He made Saul know you're trying to kill innocent men. He made Saul know you're trying to kill innocent people. So we're not saying don't be bold. In this day and age of polarization, in this day and age of seemingly two ideologies battling, we're in an election year, an important election year in the United States of America. I go to Canada. Canada, we don't know if it's an election year. It might be, but if it's not this year, it's certainly next year. And there's a polarization going on over policies. Come on, raise your hand if you've noticed that. We are to rise above it all. We live higher. Everybody say higher. We stand for what's right. We get bold about what's right. Raise your hand if you understand that. We're not silent, but we do not get out of love for anything or anybody at any time. Even if the injustice is at an all-time great and what's happening is disgraceful. Come on, sometimes you want to choke people for what they're saying to put on our kids at 4 years old and 5 years old. Come on, that you can be stirred up. But I'm telling you how you kill the enemy. You give it to God and you do our part. Come on. And the Lord will take care of our enemies. Matthew chapter 5. Turn over there really quick. Anybody getting anything out of this morning? These times are tough for a guy like me, but I'm working with it. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, you heard it's been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, watch this, love your enemies. And that's not human love. That's not phileo. That's not brotherly love. That's godly love. That's agape, right? Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them. This is steak. We're releasing steak this morning. This is not Milky's for everybody. How many don't want to be on Milky's anymore, right? And that's part of process, but how many like a good old steakhouse, like a giant, you know, T-bone, tomahawk, ribeye, whatever's your choice. This is steak. Watch this. Love them, bless them, do good to them, and pray for those that use you. Why? Look what it says. That you may be children of your Father, which is in heaven, which means that if you don't do these things, that you're probably not children of your Father. You're not like him, at least. This is the DNA of God. This is the reproducing. This is what Gandhi said, I'd have been a Christian had I ever seen one. Your Christ I love, your Christians I do not love. Your Christians don't look like your Christ. This is what Muhammad studied for 3 years. Most people won't tell you that, but on a mountain studied Christianity before he came down and got Islam, the complete submission to the will of God. All in, the world is looking. Watch what it goes on to say, that you would be perfect. If you love people that love you, what do you need God to do that for? But be perfect even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Last story, Luke chapter 9. Turn over there, we'll close. Luke chapter 9. Feel the Holy Spirit all over this room. Faith works by love. You're going to need your faith in these last days. You're going to need to learn how to walk by faith. It's faith that pleases God. The just walk by faith, live by faith. We're not moved by what we see. We're not moved by what we feel. We're only moved by what he said. What he said will surely come to pass. Everybody say faith. So Luke chapter 9, watch this, verse 51. And it came to pass when the time was come that they should be received to heaven, steadfastly he set his face to go. Jesus set his face strong, heading towards his accomplishment, which was the cross. It wasn't a defeat, it was an accomplishment. And it says he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him. The people did not welcome, receive, or accept Jesus because his face was as if it was going to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, watch this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire down from heaven and consume them as Elijah did? I mean, these guys... They don't say, do you want us to email them and just, you know, give them a little rebuke. They're like, they went totally the extreme. You want us to just call fire and just take these guys out? And you know what? Jesus turned and he said, and he rebuked them. Just like David, he rebuked his mighty men and said, no, I'm not going to touch what God has anointed. No way. Jesus turns and instead of rebuking the Samaritans and the world, he turns to his people and rebuked them and said, watch this, you know not what manner of spirit you are. Put your hand right on your heart there. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, let me be like you. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy lives, but to save them. Cleveland, Ohio needs a savior. People, no matter what they're entrenched with, in all kinds of lifestyles, it doesn't matter. We have two kinds of people. They're saved and about to be saved. The Bible says the fields are white. And that's why we walk by faith, because if you look at America, it looks hopeless at times, right? It looks like I went to the UAE. That's less than, it's not even less than 1% Christian. It's less than probably 0.01% Christian. You go to these places, but you know what? No. Jesus said the fields are ripe and the people are ready. They're not the darkness, they're in darkness. And the moment they see this light, the moment we carry the glory of God, the moment we carry the light of Christ, they're going to run to him. Last story, you can close your Bibles, was an Ethiopian eunuch, the Bible says, in the book of Acts. And this Ethiopian eunuch came in for one of the festivals and they were all worshiping in Jerusalem. They were pagan worshipers in Ethiopia. He was in charge of all the money. And so he's in a chariot. And the Bible says to Philip, go and join yourself to this chariot. And when he connects, interesting enough, the story says that this Ethiopian eunuch is reading the Holy Scriptures. Oh, God told us he's reading the Bible. So there's an unsaved guy. How many believe the world is checking out the church? You know, anybody know that song, Zacchaeus, in Sunday school? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. And the Lord said, the world's checking us out. They're waiting for the sons of God to manifest. They're looking for what's real. They're looking for something to, they know the churchy stuff. Close with this. He's reading, of all the places he's reading about somebody that would go as a lamb to the slaughter and not open his mouth. Who would do that? Why is he drawn to that? Put your hand on your heart as we close. Why is he drawn to that? Why is this evangelism working? Is it just like a really good paper? I've seen over 5.5 million people come to Christ, that people are carrying this in nations. Why is that working? No, it has nothing to do with that. It's good method, no doubt, but it's the heart. Come on, the heart, the Spirit of Jesus. And when they see in you what they were created for, when they see a life that was, every one of them are created, the Bible says, for the glory of God. Isaiah, every person created was created to give their all and their life. That's why there's so many addictions in the last days. There's so many addictions and extremism is because people were actually created to be addicted and extreme. They were just created to be extreme for him. And they just need it tweaked. That's why the greatest coke sniffers and heroin shooters become the greatest evangelists. Amen? And it's going to happen. Saints, I encourage you. And they may open the altars. It's up to pastor if they open the altars. And we pray for you. But these are the greatest days to be alive. And there's something swirling. And we must move now in our country. We cannot be timid. The Christianity that worked 5 years ago and 10 years ago, or where we walk, those are all good. They're all foundational. But we all, me included, we gotta go to whole new levels. Come on. We gotta go to whole new levels and believe God. Lift your hands as we close. Lift your hands as we close. All in. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Let a spirit of truth flow through my life. Let them see you, Lord. When they look at me, when they hear me, let them hear you. Let them feel you. If they could just know you, Lord. There's so many. Let's just stand up on your feet. I feel the Holy Spirit all over this room and this atmosphere. Warriors. This is this moment that out of nowhere, people are going to rise up out of obscurity and carry the flame of God to the cities and nations of the world. Thank you, Lord, for your fire right now from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Ignite the purpose of God. Lord, ignite it. Let them hit the mark of their high calling. Whatever you created my brothers and sisters to do, I pray for a tenacity and a hunger and a desperation, Lord, like they've never had before. I pray you'd move circumstantially in their life. Move out every hindrance and barrier in the name of Jesus. We declare and decree an open heaven over their life right now and an open heaven over the city of Cleveland. And this is harvest time. We thank you for hundreds of thousands that are going to be swept into your kingdom right here, right across the state of Ohio. Millions of people through this Midwest. We give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to our Sermon of the Week. You can help us reach others by investing today at BethelCleveland.com/give.